he's a big Star Wars guy. I'm a big Star Wars guy. So we would be shooting stuff and we would have debates, right, on, you know, like, well, would the Ewoks actually be able to take over the Stormtroopers?
Hello and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, joined by Matt Anderson. And today, Les Eller of Purdue joins us on the podcast. He's a production manager for Hall of Music Productions at Purdue. And he talks to us about the event production side of things, some third-party integrations he's done to get fans engaged, and more. We're here on the podcast, and we have Les with us. Les, how are you doing?
Doing good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Doing great. Can you start us off by telling us a little bit about your position with Purdue?
Yeah, my current position is a post-production manager here at Purdue University with Hall of Music Productions, which within Purdue University, Hall of Music Productions is basically Purdue's production company. And so all the colleges and other entities in Purdue will come and hire us to do multiple projects. One of our biggest clients is Purdue Athletics. And before I was a post-production manager, I was a graphic designer concentrating on LED boards, and I still do that as well as manage projects.
Okay. So you said your big customer is Purdue Athletics. What sports specifically do you help out with?
We help out with football. There's boards there. There's boards at Mackey Arena, so we do men's and women's basketball. Volleyball and wrestling when they are in that venue. We also provide some assistance at aquatics. So we've helped with NCAA qualifying events just this spring. They did zone diving here at Purdue.
You mentioned you do production for, and it can be the LED displays. Are there other areas too that you help out with in these sports, or is it just what goes on the LED displays, or kind of what all does that encompass?
It's changing. How our relationship with athletics is changing with some restructuring that they've done and restructuring on our end. For the past 10 years, we were doing a lot of video production for them. So shooting season ticket commercials, shooting personality videos,
okay, a
lot of that type of stuff. We provide equipment and support for those shoots now. And while they kind of do the directing and that sort of thing. So with our production company, we have a full lighting department, full sound and staging departments. And so they'll get lighting people from us and equipment if they want to light the arena. And we have fog machines and hazers that they can also use. So we're still involved a lot with athletics, and we do all their live event production.
Okay.
They basically supply the content, and we load it, run it, and all that type of thing.
With working with the LED displays, you had mentioned before your current position, how far back does that go? Kind of how far back have you worked with a Daktronics LED displays?
Wow. This is going to age me. I have been working with Daktronics displays since 1997.
Wow.
I took a class where we learned the Venus software. I think it was Venus 6000 at the time.
Okay.
It was a class. If you did well in the class, you interviewed and you were then going to be on the crew for the following season of football and men's and women's basketball. And so I believe I took the class in the spring of 97 and started working the 97-98 seasons for basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, those are some of the earliest LED video displays that Daktronics made back in 1997. How does that compare?
Well, we were still, sorry for interrupting. Oh, okay. We were still running a matrix board in 97.
Okay.
Yeah. So we upgraded from that matrix board to LEDs in 2004 for basketball.
Yeah. All right.
And that's when I started working for Hall Music Productions, because they basically moved me over. I was doing essentially freelance for athletics at the time then.
Right. So how does that compare to today, let's say from 2004 when you were working on LED displays to 2019?
To now? Oh, wow. Tons have changed, right? You now you have show control, which is for doing what I do, controlling all the boards or a majority of the boards. It's amazing how I remember jumping back and forth in Windows and the Venus software, and now it's like you can program everything in buttons, and it's really pretty easy if you know the software.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do in there is it's night and day different.
I was gonna say it's a little easier to use than the 6000 was.
Just a little bit. The 6000 was like drawing with a light bright.
That's awesome.
You had 16 colors, I believe, and you had to do cell by cell animation.
The term graphic designer back then probably has a little bit different than now, when you only had to work with 16 colors to try and make something look engaging.
Yeah, yeah, it really pushed your skill level, and that's what I tell students when I'm in the classroom. I'm like, going, look, we had one undo in Photoshop at that point in time,
and
16 colors on the board, so. You know, give me a break. You guys can make something look really cool way easier than we could.
Oh, right.
You can control Z all day.
Yeah, exactly.
So with being in college right now at Purdue and helping them out, at this time of year, you know, with the school year winding down and probably baseball and softball going on, what does it look like for you right now as a typical day, I guess, when you're helping out? What are the types of things are you doing? Are you wrapping up for the school year and then starting to look forward to the upcoming school year? How does that balance out?
It's tough to strike that balance because we are just ending a week or basically a month of everybody's wanting to get their awards ceremonies in, and so our live video guys are working with those people, and we're running events. Because to give you guys an idea, we do in the neighborhood of 1,300 events a year.
Wow,
with a 40-person plus freelancer staff with at Hall Music Productions. So this last month we're wrapping up all these award ceremonies and editing what the guys have recorded so they can put them, those schools can put them out on their YouTube channels and that sort of thing. We are also looking forward to the next school year. One of our big clients is Purdue Convocations, and we're doing their season preview stuff. So they're bringing in about 30 acts a school year, ranging from dance companies to stand-up comedians to school stuff for kids in elementary school. So we're doing basically 30 commercials for them, as well as trying to plan what's going to be what the new football board is going to look like, because I believe we're getting a big ribbon board on one end of the football stadium in the fall, and maybe volleyball as well. Part of the discussion is, okay, what has Purdue Sports Properties sold as far as advertising? We need to start looking at that layout, what the timeline of installation, all that stuff. Athletics, what do you want to see? What are you going to provide? So it's a lot of that prep work. So when it comes July and August, we know what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, so with that new fascia at the football stadium, it sounds like you've just got another piece of real estate that you get to play with, and you get to figure out how you're going to use that and incorporate that and working with the team itself to get that working.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's athletics project. And so they haven't like really gave us a bunch of information yet. And so we're like getting those meetings lined up to go, what's this going to look like? Yeah. I mean, what information do you want there? I'm assuming like out of town scores, how much of that is going to be there? What other stuff is going to be there? There's got to be sponsorship of some sort, right?
Yeah.
But what other stuff?
Yeah. So
want
there's a lot going on in the background to decide what happens with that. It's not just, oh, we've got a brand new piece of technology, let's plug it in and ta-da, it looks pretty and it's got everything you need. There's details you got to work through to make sure that it looks good come game day.
Well, that's what I was curious about too, Les, is, you know, customers, when they get, you say the whole thing, if they get a new main video board, they get a new fascia, they get all these things, there's a lot of meetings to determine how to handle all those together to make sure they all, you know, look synchronized and everything. But then when you get, you know, just the new fascia in there, like how does that compare with getting ready? Is it you already have your looks and everything you're probably getting ready for, and it's just a matter of how do you tie that into there, or if it's in all these meetings you determine out of town scores, ads, or whatnot?
So let's see, it wasn't last basketball, this past basketball season, it was a season before that. So that 17-18, we got all new boards in Mackey. So new center hung, new ribbon boards, you know, we kept some of the old stuff, but like new control software. So basically complete new system minus a few boards. And that was like a total rework.
Yeah.
And that was fun because you're like, I got a blank canvas. You know, nobody gets to say, well, you just reuse what you used last year. It's like, that's not an option, right? Because last year's boards were, let's say they were 64 by 256 pixels. The new boards are three times that. But, you know, it's more 16 by 9 than just a rectangle, a narrow rectangle.
So that's a little bit different.
It's a lot bit different, you know, and you have a ring in the top of the center hung that last year was a square. Yeah. This time it's a circle. You can't just say reuse stuff. It's not going to work. So there was a lot of those types of conversations going into that blank canvas and going, hey, this is what we can do. So building those examples and showing that. With football, since we're not replacing the main football board, I think not for at least another year, the fascia, it's going to be, you know, what can this add to the show? What has athletics heard from the fans? What do they want or expect to see there? That sort of thing. And how are we going to operate stuff at the opposite, you know, on opposite ends of the field and not distract from one another would be one of my design problems I have to figure out. Right.
I gotcha. Yeah, you're saying don't do what we've always had on there. It makes me think of this example I've seen. I think it was maybe 5-6 years ago. There was a customer that used to have a matrix display, not a full video board. And then when they got a new video board, they had said, all right, use the same content, and they put it up. And it was, you know, it was the same color, same layout and everything. And they thought it was going to look nicer just by using the same amount of stuff. But that was a great opportunity for our creative services at the time to go in and say, hey, you know, if you're going to use it exactly like the old one, it's going to look exactly like the old one. You can do a lot more with it. Whether it's laying it out in different zones or graphics, but utilizing the full capabilities of it.
Yes, and when we moved to your guys' board in football, I believe that was in 2007, we actually had an actual Sony Jumbotron.
Okay.
and moved to an LED board from you guys, and everybody's like, well, we're just going to keep the same layout. Like, this is where the video window is going to be. This is where the score is going to be. And this is where the sponsorship is going to be. And then the fans were like, what's the point of getting a new board? It all looks exactly the same. You guys have not used this at all. And so we got a lot of feedback. And we're like, hey, man, nobody talked to us prior to this. So, you know, there was a lot of discussions then with sponsors and like, what can we do to move things around and really use the board to its potential.
So yeah, a little bit of a learning curve there to make sure you're maximizing the real estate you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a learning process for upper management and the sponsors and the people selling the sponsorship.
Oh yeah.
As well as, you know, some of our graphics people hadn't put stuff out on a big, you know, board like that or a lot. And so it's like, okay, it's great when it looks good on your monitor that's 2 feet from your eyes,
yeah.
roll back 6 feet away from your desk and now look at it and see, can you read it? You know,
you
that
go.
Was always my test when we get new designers in.
Well, I always think about it too. I always hear from customers, it's that first year they get a new display. Comparing that to maybe the second year is a lot different, because sometimes that first year, it's the don't crash the ship, make sure everything goes as planned. You know, it's on, it's working, we got everything on there we need. And then they just, as they get more comfortable with the equipment, then you start to see them play around with it and try new things over the course of the second and third year and so on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, you know, you can do some really cool stuff if you do all the math and figure out how to create animations that wrap and will jump from one board to another board and make it look all seamless. You know, that's fun to do. It's complicated, but it's fun to do. And it gives the fans a really cool experience when you can pull it off.
Right. So you've been creating some big moments with the displays and trying to engage your fans, like you said. It sounds like you've partnered with Q Audio to implement a light show to do some more fan engagement stuff. How is the experience different working with like those third parties like Q Audio?
Yeah, we've worked with Q Audio for several seasons now. I want to say three or four, possibly four. I believe Athletics was one of their first customers to use their product, and that workflow. At the time, we were producing a lot of videos for Athletics and getting everybody on the same page as far as, like, if we're creating the video that's going to run with this light show, you have to have the music ahead of time so we know what we're editing to, and then also Q Audio knows where they're putting all these cues, audio cues at, and so everything's got to work together, so it needs to be planned out farther in advance than what we've done in the past. And it took a little bit of time to get our producers and Athletics to understand the timeline we needed, then making changes as we went to our sound system a little bit, but how it all worked together, you know, out in the arena. Because you're also dealing with getting people the app, right, and getting people to buy in and use that. And that took probably about half a season to train people to do that. Once Big Ten season rolled around that first year, people pretty much understood what they needed to do. So there was a lot of learning curves for several of us on that part. That project.
That was when we had Ira Akers, one of the co-founders, on an earlier podcast episode, and he had kind of mentioned that too, that a lot of the work that goes into it is promoting even that app. So it's sometimes it's even dependent on the customer as to how many people are they going to get, you know, to help push and promote the app, because you obviously need that in order to be successful with the light show or whatever else it may be.
Yeah, and during your pregame, getting messaging out there, and We had to change our production, our pregame production, to go, okay, they need a visual cue to know when they need to load the app up, right? Start your app now during the visitor lineup, because, you know, most of the hometown fans don't really have a big vested interest in the visiting lineup. So that's when we hit, you know, load your, you know, boiler light app, I think that's what it's called. Load it up now, and then once the visiting team was done, that's when the show really started. So, and once we started doing that, we seen a big increase in the number of people using it.
That's what I was going to ask, is I've seen the videos of it working, you know, as the light show open example that they do. How is that in person? Like, how has that been received by the students and the fans in the venue? Is it pretty cool to see?
Yes, when it's packed and it's sold out, it's really awesome, and it gives that extra feeling that you know, you're watching the video, but then in your peripheral vision and in the background of the board, you got all this other lights going on. It's really cool. And then we also hold it and have the light app going on during the starting lineup. So you have our intro video that cuts into the starting lineup, and it's really cool because we have like some CO2 tanks that are going off. And so you got some of that in the air with the light, with all the cell phone lights and the board. Yeah, it makes a really good show.
Yeah, that sounds like one really cool integration with the Q Audio there and everything you've got with that open.
It's one of those things that venues, you hear it all the time. If you like listen to people in the industry, it's like, what experience can we give fans if they can't get at home, right? Because I've got a 70-inch TV, I got cold beer, I got a bathroom that I don't have to fight to get anywhere to.
Right.
So why do I need to go to the arena, right? Well, this allows people to participate in the show, right? I got my phone, my kid has my wife's phone, and we're all having a good time. So it's one of those little things that lets people participate and feel like they're part of the show.
Right, a very
engaging piece. As
opposed
to just watching the show.
Yeah. Are you seeing any other trends in the industry that you might be looking to use that are similar to that, that help engage fans even further?
Social media is like, I guess, the default answer. How do you use that? Where is it going to go next?
Yep.
As far as integrating that into the show, we just did a big wireless upgrade, so cell phone signal upgrade throughout the basketball arena. So that was a big part of, I think, anything you're going to do with fans and with their phones is you got to have that signal, because if you don't, then they can't participate. What other stuff do I see coming? What I would like to see is more like real-time data stats that's integrated specific to players, right? Like some of the stuff that you're seeing on TV that, you know, they're going to have chips woven into their uniforms, and you're going to be able to track movement and tell how fast a guy's running, you know, and being able to put that up on the boards would be really cool. As far as I'm a stats guy, so I think some of that stuff is interesting. It tells a different story of the game that you're maybe not seeing, right?
It does seem like there's new stats coming out every season now, almost for any sport regardless.
Yeah, and player tracking. You've seen on some NFL broadcasts or whatever, they're showing how the player was running the route with a green line following him all over the field.
For how fast he was going while he was doing it, or ground covered or whatever it may be.
I think it would be interesting, you know, to have fans like engage and, you know, maybe guess the starting lineup. I could see interesting things with that angle of, you know, projecting what's going to happen during the game, I think might be something that nobody else is. I don't know if anybody's doing that yet. Like fans trying to do like, so you're trying to integrate that fantasy aspect of it into
College atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I've never even thought of it in that way. That would definitely be interesting to see. You had mentioned earlier that, you know, you use Show Control now and how different it is compared to the past with the first softwares that you used from Daktronics. When you talk about creating these big moments, whether it's with Q Audio or whatever else, how does the workflow use for that? Do you use Show Control to take over all the displays, or how is that done?
We use Show Control to take over everything except like the main video part of the center hung.
Okay.
At the moment. So that's all coming from the control room via our switcher and hitting that. That is something that we're looking at possibly changing. Actually, we've been taking a look at your new clip player, because the product that we're using now is at end of life. Like all electronic stuff, it eventually is just done, and people don't provide tech support for it anymore, or, you know, it just dies. So what we currently have is, we can probably get a season out of it, maybe, is what we're looking at, but it would be really interesting. And we were just having talks yesterday about integrating a clip player where it's one button push, as opposed to trying to get everybody on the same page hitting the buttons at the same time, which is, you know, you can do through a switcher with EMIMs and stuff like that, but our switcher's full as well. So this would give us an option to make things a little bit easier and be able to hit like a big moment and everything goes at the same time.
Yeah, you mentioned you know some of the technology comes to its end of life, and there's something new that's taking its place and moving on. How do you stay on top of some of these advancements? I mean, I know Daktronix holds like a video summit at IDEA where we talk about the products that we're working on and the upgrades we're making. But how do you stay up to date with some of those changes?
Oh wow, it's tough, right? Because it's tough because there's just so much, right? Are you talking about replay? Are you talking about camera equipment? I mean, the amount of gear, when I bring somebody into our control room that is not from the video production world, they're like, oh my gosh, are you guys like launching the next shuttle out of here? You know,
it's overwhelming.
So it's just a lot of stuff, and you have your comm, you have audio, and we're fortunate enough to have, you know, being a production company, that we have guys that are just audio guys, and so they can concentrate on that. And we have our own lighting guys, so they can help integrate and give advice to people about like what do we want to do at the pool. Right, because they want to put in LED lights, they want to do something similar to what we do at Mackie, like be able to kill all the lights and do a cool light show. Well, mm-hmm. How are we going to do that inexpensively? So our lighting guys, you know, can spend the time doing that. For what I do, it's kind of like I have to follow what everybody's doing, like be it NFL teams or hockey, NFL or NBA. You know, all the major sports, and building up a network that if I see something cool on TV, I can, you know, text Chris Dreischer at the Rangers and say, hey man, how did you guys do that? Or Ed down with at the Heat and go, okay, well, how did you guys pull that off? That's part of it. I try to read some newsletters here and there when I have time. That's kind of how I keep up on it. It's a job within itself to trying to keep up on what everybody's making, not just you guys, everybody else.
Right. Absolutely.
And you guys do a great job at the IDEA conference. You guys have the video summit, and I know you do others of those throughout the year. And you guys put out a newsletter, and you have Facebook group, and you guys do a pretty good job of informing us what's going on. So that helps as well.
I was going to say, when you talked about reaching out, you know, Chris Dreischer with the Rangers, whoever else it may be, is that one of those things where it is this video summit and IDEA conference that sometimes it's just getting together when you don't meet with other people in your area as much? And I hear the term a lot in the sports industry of idea hacking, right? So it's almost kind of what you were saying. Someone sees an idea, it's cool, they want to share and tell other people in their profession about it so then they can take it and use it. Because I heard the joke, I can't remember who it was, but they had said, you know, we're not competing with your baseball fans in San Diego because we're here in Boston. You know, so it's one of those, You can take our idea and use it, that's fine, because we're not competing for the same people to come into the stadium.
Sure, yeah. You mean like Star Wars night. Everybody has a Star Wars night now, right? But, you know, Chris and those guys at the Rangers, they did a Star Wars night in 2000, and it was before episode 7 came out. So that was 2014, 2015. And it's like, so they had people in costume, they had, you know, Star Wars, like movie clips going. I'm like, so I was like, dude, how did you, like, Lucas is pretty tight on people using his stuff. Mm-hmm. And you guys are a Major League Baseball team, so that doesn't go unnoticed, right? You know, Purdue uses it. If we use it at a baseball, you know, game, nobody notices, right? But when the Rangers, somebody's going to see that, right?
So there's a lot more eyeballs.
So how did you do that? How did you pull it off? And like, because we want to do something for, you know, for basketball. Right. And so he's like, here, this is my contact person. This is how we did it. This is some of the rules you have to follow. And so basically, we took that information, presented it to, you know, athletics, and it's like, hey, this is a good idea. This could work, because we have a kids club, a Purdue kids club, where, you know, you spend X amount of money, and the kids, you get two tickets for a football game, you get two kid tickets for a basketball game, you get two tickets for women's basketball, volleyball, whatever.
Nice.
And, you know, it's like, hey, we should do this for a kids club game. You know, it took work to do that, but the idea of idea hacking, that's it, right? Because we're not, you're exactly right, we're not competing for Rangers baseball fans here in West Lafayette, Indiana, right? But our fans really liked it. So, yeah, it's being able to see what other people are doing, whether it's, you know, Major League Soccer or even, you know, what they do in NASCAR, you know, or in some of the fun stuff is the minor league teams.
Yes, they do a lot of different things.
Yeah, because they have to do it on a budget, and, you know, they will go out of their way to get fans involved. So then it's trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate that into a show that our fans will like.
Yep. So. Have you I know you're a big Game of Thrones fan, and I'm not sure if anyone's done this, but are you thinking of doing a Game of Thrones theme night? Have you thrown that idea on the table at all?
We haven't. Oh. We are currently producing. We have a set designer right now. We're designing some stuff. I don't know what I can say and what I can't
okay,
say.
Okay, I could tell you were wondering if you could say it or not.
Matt really just spoiled it. It's going to be Game of Thrones night. Way to go, Matt.
No, it's not necessarily Game of Thrones night.
You don't have to say anymore if you don't
want. Related. Check out Purdue Athletic social media, and you'll see it probably this season.
There you go. We'll turn this into a teaser. That was good.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're fine.
Yeah, how do you come back from Game of Thrones?
I don't know. It's all over the place right now.
So it sounds like you've got some fun things on the horizon. What if you look into the past? Do you have any fun memories of things you've implemented in the past that really stick out?
Oh, fun things that we've implemented in the past. Working with the basketball team probably here in the last 5 years has been for me, like, some of my highlights of my career so far, because the players were just really cool to work with. Isaac Haas, he was our 7'2" center, right? And he's a big Star Wars guy. Uh-huh. I'm a big Star Wars guy. So we would be shooting stuff, and we would have debates, right, on, you know, like, well, would the Ewoks actually be able to take over the Stormtroopers? And would it have been better with Wookiees like it was supposed to be and all this stuff? Oh, so we would have these long debates, and the crew would look over and go, okay, Les, you need to shut up because he needs to be doing stuff, right? And he's like, he'd be like, no, we need to still talk about this.
Talk to him on May the 4th and just let him get back to
you. Yeah, so that was some of the fun stuff that we've been able to do with those guys, that we built up that client relationship, that they trusted us to be able to produce stuff that was really cool and fun
and authentic, you know? Almost
yeah like we had a prop R2-D2 that was like movie quality. Had been in commercials that guy down in Indy. So I am a huge geek, and so I know people in the 501st, which is the official costuming group of Star Wars, and it's licensed by Lucas. So we have like 501st and Rebel Legion costume people come in for our Star Wars nights. And, you know, so like remote controlled, honest to God, R2-D2 driving around with sound effects and blinking lights and everything. So being able to see fans like during Star Wars night, because I was a big part of bringing that to Purdue, being able to see all the fans' enjoyment, and that was really cool. Being able to bring my son to those video shoots and see him play with R2-D2 and a lightsaber with Purdue Pete's head on him. It was like one of my priceless pictures.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you have fun at work at all.
So aside from the different kind of things you've implemented, has there been a game, maybe aside from a Star Wars one, has there been any memorable experiences just being, you know, at a production site or during a game at all?
Oh, yeah. When we beat Wisconsin, Robbie Hummel beating Wisconsin last second shot, fans rushed the floor, hands down, best game I've been at.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, so you have to know my backstory a little bit. I grew up a Purdue fan, right?
Okay.
Watching it on a 13-inch TV in my family's living room, right? My grandfather is a Purdue alumni. And okay. So, you know, I've been going to games for a long time, on and off, growing up. And so being able to beat, I think that was the first top 10. I want to say Wisconsin was a top 10 team at the time. And this was like Matt Painter's first time beating a top 10 team in Mackey Arena. And it hadn't happened for like 10 or 15 years. Fans rushed the floor. It was really awesome. And I'm stuck at the, and I'm in the arena, right? I'm not stuck in the control room. So I'm in the arena and like, oh, I just want to leave my show control spot and go join the fun, right? And
it's yeah.
like, I can't, man. Oh. But hands down, that's the best athletics moment that I've been part of.
Sounds like the loyalties there run deep, going back to your grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. You wanted to storm the court, but you couldn't because you had to stay in the control room and go. Yeah. I've always wondered that of the people in the control room. You know, everyone's kind of with their team and a fan of it. But there's got to be those moments, too, where it's just your emotions are taking over because something cool, really cool just happened for your team. As a matter, how do you deal with it in the control room?
You gotta keep it together. There's a show going on.
When you aren't vested in it, it's easy to do, right? It's easy to you're there and you're doing a job. But when you're like a fan, it can be difficult to keep that in check. It's something that I have to constantly keep in the front part of my head that I got to keep that in check. But it's like I bring that to the table as well. Because a lot of the designers on our team they're not really fans. It's like, yeah, I'll go and watch a basketball game, but I'm not a fan of it. So when we're producing videos or, you know, making graphics, it's like, well, what will the fans want to see? Well, go ask Les, because he knows what he wants to see and he knows what'll be fun. Or it's like, we need the top 10 plays, you know, for the past 5 years, go talk to Les because he's going to have a really good idea of what those should be. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, sounds like it. I know you mentioned a little teaser of what you're working on. Is there anything else that you could tell us that you're looking forward to the most coming up?
Right now, we're just kind of neck deep in stuff that has to be out the door in June. So we haven't quite made it to working on stuff or looking at stuff that's going to be in August and September yet.
Do you get a little bit of a lull time in the summer too? I mean, I know college is out. You're coming down from spring sports and fall sports. You have to get ready early, but do you get a little bit of a lull compared to the school year?
Yeah, we do. With our group, however, like we do conferences as well.
Okay.
So we have, I believe it's called the Presbyterian Youth Triennium. So it's a big Presbyterian Youth Conference that comes in every 3 years, and they use all our facilities. So we have a 6,000-seat theater that's a sister theater to Radio City Music Hall with Elliott Hall of Music. We have I believe Loeb Playhouse is 1,200 seats. We have a 400-seat theater as well as an amphitheater that we provide all the tech support for. So,
and production services, you're doing all live events, camera operations, everything?
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're busy all the time. I think the only 2 days we don't work are Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, so you do get a break.
Yeah, 2 days. but it is lighter over the summer. But then you get like super heavy times, like homecoming, where it's like all hands on deck, right? Because they're using, not only are we producing the football game, but College of Engineering wants our equipment, the College of Ag wants our equipment, all these people want to do stuff in various places. So it's a little crazy.
Multiple events, lots of different things going on. Les, we wanted to thank you for joining us today. I mean, I think we've learned a lot about the production at Purdue, how you implement into that, and even a little bit about Star Wars. I wasn't expecting that, but it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
If you guys, you know, we can do this and we can talk about Game of Thrones or whatever. I'm up for it. Anytime you guys want to chat.
Yeah, we'll just stay on after we're done here. We'll keep going.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Well, thanks for
joining
us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the call, guys.
Thanks, Les.
Thanks.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.